Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being in your presence to hear your word. We pray, Lord, that you give us of your spirit, that we will have understanding. Give us of your spirit, the spirit that is our advocate, our teacher, that we will behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray, Lord, that we will not live here the same as we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Today we want to continue with our message on those who accuse you. Those who accuse you. We are talking about accusations. Hallelujah. And we have shared a lot of things on accusation, and last week, we started talking about the hidden laws. There are certain hidden laws of accusation, and we have been sharing a few of these laws since last week. Amen. And we said that the importance of understanding these laws is to help you fight your enemy and gain an upper hand. Amen. Our enemy is called the accuser. Hallelujah. I said our enemy is called what? The accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. And we want to read our foundation scripture from Revelation 12 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. He says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Hallelujah. So you see that when the accuser is removed from the midst of the brethren, or the accuser is overcome, three important things happen in our lives. Three important things. Just removing accusation from our midst. Hallelujah. It says, salvation comes. Salvation comes. That means the gospel is preached, people are saved, salvation comes. And it says, strength comes. We receive strength. Hallelujah. We receive boldness. Boldness to do the work of God. Boldness to preach. Boldness to sing. Hallelujah. Boldness to dance. Amen. We receive strength when the accuser is gone. And then it says, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. The kingdom of God and the power of Christ comes just because the accuser is removed. Hallelujah. So that is why it's important for us to fight accusation. And we share that it sounds very benign. It sounds very simple. Sometimes it feels like it's a statement that can be ignored, because oftentimes it is not true. And so, when you look on in that aspect, you will feel that accusation is very benign. But its intent is very damaging. Its intent is damaging. It says, while there's accusation, there is no strength. There is no salvation. There is no kingdom of God and the power of Christ because of accusation. Hallelujah. We do not experience these things. And that is why we are sharing about accusation. You are wondering, what kind of message is that? They're talking about accusation. Who is being accused? And who is the accuser in the church? Amen. Well, you want to know who the accuser is? The accuser is Satan. Satan is the accuser. Satan is the one we are fighting. It's because of Satan that we are preaching a message like that. The unfortunate thing is that Satan uses the brethren. And he's called the accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. Because if Satan was to come and we all see him, we will ignore everything he says. And we will fight everything he says. That unfortunately, Satan comes within the brethren. And so he has effect when he acts and when he works. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why it's a very serious matter. Say, it's a serious matter. Say, accusation is a serious matter. So we're talking about the hidden laws of accusation. And if you are not here, the message is available. You can listen to it. But quickly, we said the first law, law number one, is that your relationship will be polluted by accusation. Your relationship will be polluted by accusation. You will not have the same relationship any longer once there is accusation. Once someone is accused, once a party is accused in the relationship, it will never be the same again. Amen. Number two, the second law of accusation, we said you will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. You will be accused of the exact opposite of what you really are. Amen. That is usually how accusation works. You'll be accused of what you really are not. Hallelujah. Jesus was a builder of the church. He says, I will build my church. I will build the church. But he was accused of breaking the church. He was accused of destroying the church. Moses was accused of a very thing that he was not. Moses was described as the meekest man on earth. If you're looking for someone with humility, the number one person that was with humility was Moses. But he was accused of being proud. Hallelujah. And that is how accusation works. Number three, the law number three, we said, the most effective accusers are those closest to you. Those who are very close to you are the ones who will accuse you. Those who have been with you for a long time are the ones who will accuse you. Hallelujah. Those are the ones that the enemy uses. The enemy uses the ones who have been with you for a long time. The ones who are in the choir with you. Amen. The ones who are in the ushering team with you. The ones who has shared the ring with you. And says, I will live with you till death do us part. That is the person who will accuse you. Amen. So, the enemy uses people who are very close to you. That is why Judas was chosen. Judas was a trusted disciple. You know, in a church, we trust people with money. People that we can trust are the ones that we appoint as treasurers. Are you listening? Ah, really? Yes. We appoint people that we can trust. Amen. We trust them. We trust them. And Judas was a treasurer of the church. So he was a trusted disciple, but he was the one that the enemy chose to accuse. Hallelujah. And number four, the law number four, he says, your accusation will not stop until you react wrongly. Until you react wrongly. That is the ultimate. That is what the enemy wants from you. A response of acting wrongly. That is what the enemy wants to see. That you act wrongly. And we said, number five, the fifth law, he said, the underlying causes of accusation are the common causes of madness. They are the causes of madness. That people will accuse you to the degree of going mad. Hallelujah. Today, I want us to continue with these laws. I have some few laws that I want to give you. The hidden laws. Law number 6. Your accuser thrives on non-biblical quotations, proverbs, and sayings, but not on the word of God. The accuser or accusations, they thrive on or they live on, their basis are on non-biblical quotations and sayings. They are based on things that are not true biblically, but they are high sounding and sound like they are true and they are facts. Bishops identified the situation. He says one day he received a document from someone, and this person wanted him to believe that the church was a cult-like organization. And so the person sent a document. And he said when he initially read the document, he was taken aback because the document seemed to be an authority in describing what is cult. You see? And it went on to describe and giving examples of what is a cult. Okay? So this document claimed that one characteristic of a cult is an emphasis on loyalty. When an organization emphasizes on loyalty, then it's a cult-like organization. You see, this is what the document was saying. And it says, this fellow was therefore pointing out to me that because I have taught on loyalty and written books on loyalty, our church has strong characteristic of a cult. These cleverly composed arguments sound true, but can be very misleading. He said, as I studied this paper, I realized that there was absolutely no scriptural backing for these authoritative statements. You see? And so people have high-sounding statements. People write high-sounding things. You know, and people write so many things on the internet and with such philosophy, but no biblical basis. But when you go into the Bible, you will notice that faithfulness is a requirement of every steward. Faithfulness is a requirement of every servant of God. God looks for faithfulness, and faithfulness means loyalty. Are you listening to me? God wants to have a relationship with you, and he wants loyalty. There is no relationship that will thrive without faithfulness. Whether it is relationship between two friends, whether it's a relationship between a pastor and a church member, or whether it's a relationship between a husband and a wife, it can only thrive through faithfulness. It will never survive when there's no faithfulness. That is why whenever in a relationship, faithfulness is broken. When trust is broken, it is the end of the relationship. It is the end of joy in the relationship. It is the end of peace in the relationship. Are you listening to me? So, in the end, what we are going to be rewarded for will be one, that we are good servants. We serve God well. We serve God well. We are good servants. We did a lot of good things. But number 2 is that you are faithful. God is going to judge us, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Faithfulness is required in every relationship. A man that is not faithful, you cannot live with. You can't trust. A woman that is not faithful, you cannot live with. You will be unhappy. A pastor that is not faithful, will make you unhappy. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? And so people will base on these things to say things, and I tell you, the goal of accusation, we will learn it. Amen. There are things that people say, you know, there are witty statements that people say, you know, and some of these things allow, quote unquote, bad behavior and accusations. You know, you'll find out in churches that there are some unspiritual women who are living by fear and trumped up accusations against their husbands and men in general. And so these women refused to bend to the word of God. They don't succumb to the word of God because of certain strong convictions of certain statements. You know, they have answers to everything, and they rely on such statements as, it's a woman's world. How many of you have heard that before? It's a woman's, only the men have heard that. The women have never heard that. I don't see the women's hands. They say, it's a woman's world. They say statements like, I am a woman and I know what it feels like. Have you heard that before? Or have you said that before? I am a woman and I know how it feels like. Just the gender of woman, being the gender, has a different feeling. I am a woman and I know how it feels like. They say, you are not a woman and you will never understand certain things. How? You see, so such statements, and it makes people stand on to cause some accusations. You say, you are not a woman, so you will never understand certain things. And that will quiet you. That will silence you. And say, it's because I'm not a woman. Are you listening? They say things like, you are men. You are all the same. Is that true? Is that true? You are men. So you are all the same. How can all men be the same? What a shock. And then they say statements like, that's how men talk. Or that's how men think. Men think a certain way. Have you heard that before? Oh, these statements are not true. They say that women are made differently. Women are made differently. They say, you are a man. You have knowledge, but no experience of the pain of a woman. Pastor, you don't understand. You cannot understand. You don't understand the pain of a woman. How can you say that? Do you understand the pain of a man? So all these clever statements and clever sounding statement, they sound very reasonable and sound legitimate. They may be clever, but they are not biblical. Amen? I said they may be clever statements, but they are not biblical. So don't stand strongly on them and not the word. Don't allow the word of God to guide you. Allow the word of God to guide you. Hallelujah. It is the final authority always. I say amen. So they must not give strength and foundation to practice evil. Hallelujah. We cannot allow the accuser in our midst, no matter the garb or the costume he wears. The accuser can come in beautiful, pretty dress and nice hairdo, but we should not allow the accuser to be in our midst. Say amen. Amen. The next law number 7, it says, when your accuser is proved wrong, he will follow up with several other desperate accusations. When your accuser is proved wrong, he will follow up with several other desperate accusations. Hallelujah. That is why, you know, you will never find an accuser, someone who accuses someone of something, just say one thing. You know, you will never find it. You have to follow up with other accusations. He didn't do this for me. When I was this, he didn't do this. He was this. He was that to me. All of these led to this and makes him this or makes her that. Do you understand? So whenever the accuser is proved wrong, there are other accusations that he follows up with. Amen. Unfortunately, many accusations do not hold water. Many accusations are not true. They are not truth. And so you have to find other accusations to justify what you are saying. The accuser then stands the risk of being disgraced for making false allegations. Do you see? This makes him desperate, and he resorts to multiple and diverse forms of accusation, which becomes even more bizarre. That is what accusation does. The madness builds up as the accuser prosecutes his case and calls in witnesses to confirm that which he has said is true. He calls for witnesses. These are true things. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 57. Matthew 26 and verse 57. He says, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." Are you listening? I hope you are following. He says, they led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. They were waiting for him. And then he says, but Peter followed him far afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus. They sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. To put him to death. You see, so that is the ultimate. The goal is to stop the work of God. So they were looking for false witnesses to put him to death. So the next verse, he says, but they found none. Accusations have no strength. They are no basis. They are usually not true. So they found none. And whenever they don't find anything to accuse you, they get mad. And they find other things. That is accusation. He says, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. Many false witnesses came to accuse him, yet they did not find any. At the last came two false witnesses. Last minute, two false witnesses, and said, this fellow, that is Jesus, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? Don't you answer this? We have found something against you. Can you answer it? What is it with these witnesses against thee? That means, what do you say about what they are saying against you? But Jesus held his peace. He didn't say anything. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. You see, that he left that one. And now finding other accusations. When the accuser is proved wrong, they get desperate. They look for others. They want other things to accuse you of them. And he says, this is what the witnesses are saying. Don't you answer. Now tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. They get desperate. They get desperate. Jesus was spat on. They spat on Jesus. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 65, Mark chapter 14 and verse 65, if you have the NASB, Mark 14 and verse 65, He says, some began to spit at him. This is your Lord, the Son of God. Some began to spit at him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fists. Wow. This is the Son of God. They beat him with their fists. That means they made blows like this to hit him like a boxer. Have you thought about that? They beat him with their fists. As if you are a real criminal. He said they beat him with their fists and to say to him, prophesy, prophesy. And the officers received him with slaps in his face. Slaps in his face. That's very degrading. Slap you in the face. So why did they spit on him? Why? Why did they have to spit on him? They wanted to make him as dirty as possible. As dirty as they wanted him to be. You see, because, you know, even criminals, when they have committed crime and they have done some, even murderers, when they are going to court, the lawyers make them dress and wear suit and wear a tie. Do you see? So that when they sit, they look proper. They look innocent. You see? You can associate them with such wickedness. If you are in the jury, you cannot associate such a gentleman or such a woman with such crime. You see, so they make them dress up nicely. But these people wanted them to look dirty. They wanted them to look just as they are relating. To see him in the light of, this cannot be the Son of God. This cannot be Christ. This cannot be the Messiah. They wanted him to look dirty so they can accuse him properly. Are you listening? But our Lord was clean. He was innocent. He was innocent of all allegations that were made against him. Hallelujah. They covered his face and they said, prophesy. Covered his face and said, prophesy. Because they wanted desperately to prove that he was a false prophet. He was a false prophet. They get desperate when they want to accuse him. When they find one thing is not true, they come up with another. So you realize that it's not easy to live with people who are looking to accuse you. It's not easy to live with a person who is scrutinizing to accuse you. They will accuse you with one thing that is not true and come up with another that is not true and another that is not true. Are you listening? Because accusations are baseless. And when someone accuses a right person to you, he has to justify that what I'm saying is true. You have to justify it. You have to justify it. When people are leaving the church, they find things to accuse the pastor of. To accuse the pastor. Are you listening? It's to justify what they are saying and what they are doing. People say things like, I can't receive from him anymore. You see, you have to understand the cause and the end of what the enemy wants to do. The enemy will always use one of us. The enemy will use someone who has been with us for a long time. The enemy will use someone that you have trusted. The enemy will use someone that you have poured your heart out to. Because he wants to get to you. I can't receive anymore. And it's a seed. It's a seed that the enemy is sowing. It's a seed that the enemy is sowing to justify the person is not even anointed. Are you listening? It's a seed. It says, it brings strength down. It brings the kingdom of God down. That is a work of accusation. That is a work of accusation. So what about all the years that you said I was blessed? What about all the years that you said it was a powerful message? What about all the years that you stood here and gave testimonies? You see, I'm trying to teach you that accusation is intent. It's not a person. The person avails himself for the enemy to enter the person. And you allow Satan to use you. You allow Satan to use you. Say amen.
Amen.
You are sitting in the church. You know, there have been two occasions that someone who is leaving the church, you see, if you are leaving the church, you see, you think about it. And you understand how wicked the enemy is. And to understand that it's the enemy that is using you. If you have accompanied with someone for a long time and you are leaving the church, perhaps at least there have been some good done to you. Are you listening? I'm teaching all of you. So the day that it happens to you, you do it differently. That's why I'm teaching. There have been some good that has been done to you. Do you understand? The pastor has dedicated your baby. The pastor has laid hands on you. The pastor has prayed with you. When you were in dire need of something, the pastor stood in praying for you, going on his knees and crying unto the Lord for you. The pastor gave you hope. The pastor gave you counseling, directions, what to do. You see, all of these things, you shared deep secrets with the pastor that was never revealed anywhere. You see, and you could trust. And all of these things have happened over the years. And so when you are living, the day that you are living, what is wrong for you to come and say, thank you for all the years of the good that you have done? Now I feel I have to move on. And I feel I want to join another ministry. What is wrong with that? Even to come to church to say that. But on two occasions that I've experienced and I've noticed that is the devil, is that it was a moment that I am getting ready to come and preach. It's a Sunday, all these two occasions, Sunday, that I'm getting ready to come to preach, that a person will send me a text message like that. And I said, the devil is wicked. The devil is an enemy for real. The devil is desperate. On two occasions. You want me to show you the text message? I've saved them. Two occasions. Why Sunday? Why just before? I mean, we just had moved our church to 2 p.m. So why not 6 p.m. after church? Why just before service? It's a devil. So I'm teaching you, accusation is always from the enemy. He's called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. It's a deadly thing. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm sharing with you. Jesus did not have it easy, neither. He was under constant scrutiny from the people who were desperately wanting to accuse him. Desperately. In Luke 11, verse 53, he says, and as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Why? Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might use to accuse him. That they might use to accuse him. Hallelujah. It's the work of the enemy. Are you listening to me? Law number 8. Anyone associated with you will also be accused as well. Anyone that is associated with the accused will also be accused. So accusations are quickly generalized to include people who associate with you. People who associate with you. You see? And that is a tricky part of it. Because they either want you to join them, or else you'll be accused. They want you to join the accusation, else you'll be accused. And that is why it's dangerous to secretly relate with accuser. When you say, I am not like that, I am not like them, you are like me. If you are in a church, you are like me. Are you listening? You are like me. So to separate yourself and to relate to the accuser, you become some way. Or you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. You become some way. Amen. The assistant pastor will be accused of many things that the senior pastor is accused of. So you cannot be the Mr. Clean in the church. You are not greater than Jesus. If they accuse Jesus, they will accuse you also. Except that you separate yourself. And Jesus says, if you are not with me, you are against me. If you are not with me, you are against me. So if you are not included in my accusation, you are against me. Hallelujah. So when similar accusations are leveled at you, it means you are closer to the leader. When you are separated from the accusations, know that you are very far from the leader. You are very far. Amen. Peter was accused. And it takes a certain spiritual level to relate with the accusation and to accept that you are part of it. It takes a certain spiritual level. In Luke 22, verse 58, it says, And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Or said of Peter. He said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. It's like, he said, man, I'm not. Not one of these. I am not. Hallelujah. Perhaps you will not last a day if you are accused. That is why you have to appreciate your pastors. Perhaps you will not last one day if you are accused. But if you stand behind the pulpit, you will be accused. If you are in any form of leadership, you will be accused. So for your pastors to go through all these accusations and still rise up and still continue the work and continue to do the same good that was done to the accuser. Are you listening? Yeah. Because the ultimate is that don't trust any of them. They are all accusers. That is the ultimate. That is the goal of the enemy. That don't trust any of them. Look at their faces. You see, you are all looking very nice. People have looked nice just like you. And they become accusers. So be watchful. The enemy is looking for one who he can choose. He says that he walketh to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. Number 9, there are particular accusations that can push you around. There are certain types of accusation that can push you around. Are you listening? The enemy knows of certain accusations that works best on you in particular. Satan will find out what really gets you upset. Then he will hammer on that. He will hammer and hammer on that until you freak out. That is how the accusation works. Pilate refused to crucify the Lord when they brought him to be judged. And he refused to crucify the Lord. But there was a worrying voice of an accuser that rang above the din of the crowd. in John chapter 19 and verse 12. You see, when they brought Jesus before Pilate, he did not find any justification to accuse him or to find him guilty. He did not find anything. The basis of all the accusations were useless. There was no basis. So he found nothing. So in John 19 and verse 12, look at how they were able to get Pilate. It's through accusation. He says, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. He sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. If you let him go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So that in effect, they are saying Jesus made himself a king. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, when he heard this, he brought Jesus forth immediately. He brought him forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement by the Hebrew Gabbatha. Right away, they were able to nail Pilate where he could be nailed. And he said, the voice accused him of not being loyal to Caesar. And now Pilate was a very hard man. He was known for his brutish behavior. Pilate was a very hard person. You see, he was not one that could be pushed around by the crowd. That is why he told them that your basis of the accusation are useless. There are no basis. But when they accused him of not being loyal to Caesar, then suddenly, you see, that is how powerful accusations are. Don't laugh. This is what he did to me. That is what he did to me. Satan will hammer on that. And then that is when you will say, really? Really? And the moment you say that, the accusation has caught you. Amen. Pastors do not like to be called thieves. So when Satan wants to hinder the finances of the ministry, he uses the voice of the accuser to suggest that the pastor is a greedy money lover. You see? How many times have you not heard that? Pastors are thieves. That is the last thing, that is the last thing a man of God wants to hear. That he's a thief. That he's after money. That is the last thing a man of God wants to hear. That he's doing this work for money. You see? And Satan will make that statement through one of us. Through one of us. And then once you make that statement, it crunches you. You see? Whereas you could stand to raise funds to do the work of God, you feel guilty doing that. And it closes off that area of the ministry. And that is his ultimate goal. Amen. Pastors' wives know that their husbands loathe being called adulterers. They know that their husbands do not like to be called adulterers. They realize that their husbands do not even want to have that association with an adulterer. So like the Jews who manipulated Pilate to crucify Christ, many Christian wives, are you listening? Many Christian wives manipulate their husbands to crucify and to sweep away and to eliminate and to sack and to wipe out and to reject and to preclude other ladies that they dislike. You see, so your husband is the manager in a company. Or your husband even owns his own company and has found this faithful lady that she works with as a receptionist or as a secretary. You know, and very faithful. Very nice person. Sometimes when you come to visit your husband in the office, you see how the lady brings coffee to your husband. You know, and goes down and serves your husband nicely? Are you listening? And you don't do that. You don't do that. You see? Always fighting, 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 fighting at home. Fighting. But you come to the office and you see how this woman is talking to your husband so softly. You know? And so boss. And calls your husband boss. Hey. And calls your husband director. Hey. And then you can see how your husband's face is happy to hear director, boss, and your husband is smiling. And then you mark her. You say, this one shall go. This one must go. This one must go. This one must go. You are too good. You are too good. I can't trust this one. Are you listening? You see, and then you are filled with fear. You are filled with fear and begin to make accusations. Begin to make accusations. And then you see how she was kneeling down. Do you see how she was smiling? I'm a woman. I know what I'm talking about. You see, men, you can see things. They don't see. You see, even as I'm preaching the word of God, you say, but it's true. The men, they can see. May the Lord forgive you. May the word of God overcome every observation, every human wisdom. See, you say, it's true, Reverend. The men, they can't see you. But we women, we can see. What kind of eyes do you have? What kind of lenses do you have? What kind of interpretation can there be between someone's smile that you see and me too? I see the same smile, see the same teeth, and for you, it means something else, but for me, it should mean something else. How is that possible? You say, but when she smiled, you didn't see how she raised her eyebrow. The eyebrow means something. The eyelashes, the color of the eyelashes, it means something. But you are a man. You can understand these things. You can't understand these things. Amen. And so you see that these accusations drive good people from your relationship. It drives from your relationship. It drives from your company. Are you listening? It drives from your company. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. And learn. Learn from the secretary. Learn from the secretary. Huh? We can serve coffee like that. Oh, learn some smiles. Amen. Learn some hairstyle from the secretary. Do some eyebrow instead of complaining about different eyebrows and colors. Amen. You should understand. Learn, have wisdom and say, your behavior is working. It's working. I'm going to adapt. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? The last one. Let me give you the last law and then we'll close. The last law. It says, the motive of accusation is deeper than the issues presented. The motive of the accusation is deeper than the issues presented. Accusation is a spiritual thing. It is deeper than the issue over which you are being accused. Oftentimes, that is what it is. The superficial thing, you see, is so superficial. The accusation looks so superficial that you can overlook what is the underlying cause and the reason for the accusation. That is why when you modify your behavior in response to the accusation, a new set of allegations will arise. You see, this is the cardinal sign that accuser has located you. You see, he says there was a minister who was accused of being involved with drugs. There was a pastor, he was accused of being involved with drugs. So what did he do? He tried to overcome this cloud that hung over his ministry. He set up drug rehabilitation centers to help drug addicts. He's doing this to overcome the accusation. Are you listening? He's doing this to clear the cloud that I'm not involved in drugs. So he set up this center. This was to prove that he was definitely not into drugs. He did many other good works, but the accusation continued. They continued. For as long as I knew this minister, he was constantly bombarded with one thing or another. He had public interviews and public relations. All these efforts yielded very little. So why did the journalists never relent in their effort to accuse this man of God? Then one day, one of the journalists confessed. He said, "My aim is to make anyone who goes to that church feel ashamed." That was the aim of the journalist. Beloved, accusation, there are underlying causes, underlying reasons. Their aim, whenever someone is accused, you see, when a person accuses a pastor, he says, whatever you tell him, he will use it to preach. Whatever you tell him, he will say it to others. When a pastor is accused of that, have you ever heard anything that you have said to me that another person has heard before? If you have, just lift up your hand. One person, lift up your hand. Yeah. You see? But it is to say this to discourage others from even seeking wise counseling. That is the cause of the accusation. And it's the work of the enemy. It's the work of the devil to destroy the relationship. Hallelujah. To destroy the relationship. So this man of God was experiencing the unrelenting attack of a journalist because the journalist hated the pastor and wanted to destroy his ministry. You see, but what he doesn't know is as he's trying to destroy his ministry, he's destroying the entire kingdom of God where this pastor has been just a pastor, just a minister. He's just ministering. What is going to be, what the effect is that it's going to affect all the members of the church because of this accusation. Hallelujah. That is why when you hear things in the news, just think. And said, is the enemy at work once again? Someone who has ministered, people have given their life to Christ under his ministry, and the ministry is thriving, and then the enemy comes up with an accusation, and it's just to destroy all the people. Accusation comes not to only destroy the accused, but it's to destroy everyone that is associated. He says, I intended to do this, that people, anyone who goes to that church will feel ashamed. Will feel ashamed. What a motive that a person will have. What kind of motive this could be? Satan's intention is to stop you from doing the good works. You will find out that accusation will persist whether or not certain physical things change. Whether you change things or not, the accusation will continue. Hallelujah. Christ, our Savior, was a perfect example. His ministry was associated with lunches, parties, breakfast meetings, and so on. John the Baptist's ministry was associated with fasting and a life in the wilderness. But in each case, the barrage of accusations intended to stop the ministry continued. You see? So John the Baptist was in the wilderness and eating herbs, and he was accused. Jesus was feasting with sinners and visiting people, and he was accused. So you will notice that whatever you do, you will be accused. And the intent of the accusation is to stop the good work from going on. The intent of the accusation is to discourage you from being in a church. The intent of the accusation is to now distance yourself from the pastor. If someone comes to tell you that the pastor has loose mouth, you know what is loose mouth? Can't keep secret. If you hear that without having any experience, would you reveal your secret to the pastor? If you are having a real serious problem that you don't want anyone to hear about, but you need some counseling, would you come and relate it with the pastor? The pastor who you have heard that he has a loose tongue. And so the accusation is to destroy relationship. The enemy will use accusation to destroy relationship. So whenever you hear, because the enemy will use someone who has been with us for a long time. Someone who has been with us and been in the ministry and has benefited from the ministry. So whenever someone rises up to accuse, ask the person, has there been any good done for you? Because there may be something wrong. Something may have gone wrong. We are humans. No one is perfect. Are you listening to me? No one is perfect. We may have made certain mistakes, but there might be something good that may have been done to you. And at least remember that good. And say, Pastor was there for me when this happened. He was there for me when I needed this. He counseled me when I needed this. He spent time with me when I needed someone to talk to. He visited me when I had a loss. Something good that happened. But the enemy will wipe that out. When they gathered before the people and they brought Jesus, no one talked about how he healed the sick. No one talked about how the blind was able to see. No one talked about how the lame rose up to walk. No one talked about how he fed the people. No one talked about that. There were wise saying. Wise how he revealed the word of God. And related the kingdom of God to things on earth. To break it down for people to understand. No one talked about that. Accusation. They never talk about the good aspect of it. Its intent is always to destroy the work of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you glad you came to church? Are you glad you identified the accuser? See, so these statements, I can't receive from him anymore. When he preaches, I don't understand. Do you not understand when I preach to you? Do you understand? Yes. Hello? Yes. Do you understand me? Yes. Do I speak English? Yes. Even the French, they can understand. Écoutez-moi. Do you not understand? Are you listening? Yeah. You see, she doesn't understand, but you understand. To say, I am not blessed anymore. What about the times that you said I'm blessed? You know, there will be messages that we can hear your voice. Don't you know? There are messages that we hear your voice. There are messages that we heard your testimonies. There are messages. There are recorded testimonies of you. I will never give testimony again. May the Lord forgive you. May the Lord forgive you. Father, we are grateful and thankful. Stand to your feet. Let us bring the service to a close. Stand to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close. Oh Lord, we are grateful and thankful to identify the accuser for us. We pray, Lord, let your church stand. Oh God. Let strength come. Let salvation come. Let the kingdom of God come. And let the power of the Christ come. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuse the brethren day and night. Lord, we thank you for giving us the upper hand over the accuser. We bless you. We honor you. Today we identify the accuser. And we pray, Lord, that he shall not prevail in our midst. Father, have mercy upon us. Let none of us be used by the enemy to become the accuser. In the name of Jesus, We block the accuser from our midst. We cast him from our hearts. We cast him from our minds. We cast him from our thoughts and our conversations. We cast him out in the name of Jesus. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Lord, we cast down the accuser of the brethren in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, I want to give everyone here a chance. You are here. You are not born again. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my master and as my savior. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your savior. You are not born again. Heaven and earth, heaven and hell are real places. There is heaven and there is hell. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Now I want you all to join this prayer and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. This afternoon, I receive you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 821 Burke Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.